Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Again, I'd share just again the first portion of that gospel reading from the Bread of Life discourse of our Lord, verses 35 through 40. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is God's word. Please be seated. All right, now, you ever had a dead car battery experience? I think we've probably all experienced that. And usually it is at the most inconvenient time when you're in a hurry and you get out to the car and, nothing happens. But maybe the question arises, why would I want to talk about batteries when the scripture readings for today and our theme for today is about bread? Well, and then the thought occurred to me, and I told the Thursday night group this as the fair was getting ready to start, that maybe this week I should have been talking about the funnel cakes of life or the elephant ears of life. But then I thought, well, that's not really appropriate. Something is delicious, but it's not very good for you and hardly an appropriate kind of analogy for Jesus Christ. But batteries came into my mind. And maybe that just gives you a little insight into the strange way my mind operates. But I hope that as we move along today, the analogy of a car battery especially will help you to better understand what Jesus means to us and what He is to us as the bread of life. So we're going to mix up our metaphors a little bit today, and we hope we'll come out on the other end of this thing with a little better understanding and a little better appreciation for Jesus Christ as the bread of life. So let's start with the bread. And to really understand what Jesus is saying here when He says, "I'm the bread of life," you got to go back to the Old Testament, a little bit of history. The children of Israel, remember, were in bondage in Egypt, oppressed by Pharaoh, and cried out to God, and God raised up a deliverer, Moses, who led them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and out into liberty and freedom. And of course, at first, it was a lot of elation and jubilation for the children of Israel, who were at last free from their slavery. But then they got out there into the wilderness, and suddenly the reality of their situation hit them square in the face. They had no food. What were they thinking coming out into the wilderness? What was Moses thinking? What was God thinking? No food. They were dead men walking. And so they grumbled. They grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against God. And God heard their grumbling. And despite that, He was so gracious to them. And He worked that miracle. Flake-like substance on the ground that appeared in the morning with the dew. It was white and it was sweet. "Manna," they asked, "what is it?" And Moses said, "It's bread from heaven." And you can imagine when you're out there in the wilderness with absolutely nothing to eat, bread from heaven is everything to you. It is the source of your life. It is the sustainer of your life. It is the security of your life. That's what manna meant to those people. Now you fast forward to the days of Jesus Christ. And bread is, there's about 2,000 years fast forward. We're in the days of Jesus now, and bread is still the staple of a person's diet. To them, bread is a big deal. It's not like it is for us, where bread is just one of the cheapest food options in a grocery store packed to the gills with all kinds of food options that we can't even begin to get our mind around. But for them in those days, bread was life. That's what it meant to them. It was the source of their life, in that life would not be possible without it. Bread was the sustainer of their lives. It was that which kept their body and their soul together day by day. And bread was the security of life. If you had enough bread, you knew that life would continue on tomorrow and the next day and the next. So when Jesus said, "I am the bread of that comes down from heaven, and unless you eat of it, you will die, and if you eat of it, you will live forever," what he's saying is that everything that manna was to the Israelites, and everything that bread was to Jesus' contemporaries, bread, he is to us. Jesus is our life source. He is our life sustainer. He is our life security. But I know this bread of life discourse maybe doesn't ring in our ears like it did in the original audience, because as I said, bread really just isn't that big of a deal to us. We don't think of bread as the source of our lives or the sustainer or the security of our lives. It's just a half an aisle in a grocery store with 20 plus aisles of all kinds of food options. And it's one of the cheapest at that. We hardly think of bread as life. So to get this point across, I want to use a different metaphor. We'll update the metaphor from bread to batteries. And just go with me on this, all right? Work with me. Think of yourself, if you can, as a car battery, right? Now, you can pick whatever brand you want to pick. If you are part of the 80 or over crowd, you can be the Duralast battery, all right? And if you're part of the 90 plus crowd, well, there's no doubt, you are the diehards, all right? And if you're a morning person, you can be the True Start brand. And if you're one of those real go-getter kind of people, you can be the Energizer brand. You pick your brand. It doesn't matter, because whatever the brand is, it is true of every battery that it has no life of its own. And that's obvious, painfully obvious, when you leave your car lights on overnight and you get up in the morning and you turn the ignition key, and the key in the ignition, and nothing. Now, what do you do? Well, you know, if batteries had life of their own, then maybe you could appeal to your battery to get going for you. I don't know, maybe you could sweet talk to your battery. You know, "You nice little cubicle of power, you won't you pretty please start my car this morning?" Or maybe you could try the pep talk approach. And these are all approaches that churches use, by the way. The old pep talk approach. To the battery. "Oh, come on, old Sparky. I know you got it down in you. Just dig deep. You can do it. You can do it." Or maybe you could threaten your battery. "Ah, you little hunk of lead and acid, you punk. If you don't start my car, so help me, I'm gonna recycle you." And you know what? No matter how you talk to it, that battery will not come to life. It cannot, by its own strength, come back to life. And that's just what we say in the Catechism, right? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. We, in this wilderness of this world, we are dead men walking. There is no life that is in me of my own. Paul minced no words when he said to the Ephesians, "You were dead in your trespasses." Dead! You ever seen a dead battery do anything? You ever seen a dead person do anything for themselves? Dead in your trespasses. Dead men walking. No life in me. Until God sent bread down from heaven. The one who gives life to the world. Who puts the charge back in the battery as the source and the sustainer and the security of our lives. If you've ever had a dead car battery, maybe you called up AAA, if you have that. The guy came out in his tow truck and he brought out one of those 900 watts jump starter boxes. Hey, that's what Jesus is to us. He's the 900 jillion watt source of life. Back in the first chapter of John's Gospel, John says, all things were created through Him, and in Him is life. And not just the source of our physical life. He is that, way back in Genesis. It was the Son of God who breathed into that lifeless lump of clay the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. He is the source of our physical life, but He's also the source of our spiritual lives, when in the sin of Adam we all sinned and died to God. But now we come back to life in Christ. He took our death into His own flesh and took it to the cross. All the sins that warranted the death penalty, He paid that penalty, and by His mighty resurrection, He raises up all who believe in Him to life with God in the forgiveness of their sins. We're back with God. If I'm a dead battery, Jesus is my life source. He's that jump starter box. He is my life. But then you go the next step. If you're a car battery, Jesus is also the alternator that sustains your life. The function of the alternator, of course, is to keep the battery alive and charged up, so the battery can in turn do its functions and bring life to the car and the lights and so forth. That's what Jesus is to us. He is the sustainer of our lives. The ones who ate the manna in the wilderness, Jesus says, well, they ate that manna and they died, because physical bread will not sustain the life that is truly life. But of Himself, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And whoever eats of Me will never thirst again, will never hunger again. He sustains our lives. And then what's more, Jesus is also, if you want to carry the analogy a little further, He's also the alarm system on the car that protects the battery and the life from being stolen away. You know, apparently right now I read in Chicago, car battery theft is a big thing. And I understand it's even happening in Toledo. Thieves can get $15 a pop when they steal a battery and they take it to recycling. And then the battery gets torn apart and all the life is stolen out of it. You know, Jesus describes in the Gospel of John, He describes our enemy, Satan, as a thief. And He says he comes to steal and to kill. To steal right out of us the life of Jesus Christ and to kill us. And so that's why Jesus says that the will of the Father is that none of us would ever be lost. He wants nothing more than to raise each one of you up on the last day. And so Jesus says with confidence, all that the Father has given Me will come to Me, and I will never cast Him out. And I will raise Him up on the last day. That's the security that we have. That in coming to Jesus Christ, we will never be cast away, no matter how grievous the sin, because His mercy is even bigger. And He will raise us up. That's security. We are held firmly in the palm of His hand, and no one will snatch us away. He's the jump starter. He's the alternator. He is the alarm system of my life. He is my life source. He is my life sustainer. He is my life security. He is the bread of life. But that leaves one question open that we all have to ask ourselves regularly as Christians. You know, life for what purpose? Life for what purpose? What good is bread if the life that it gives and sustains and secures is just frittered away and wasted? What good is a car battery if it's full of life, and yet that life does not do anything, does not fulfill its function, but instead the battery is used as a paperweight or something like that? That's a question we are continually confronted with as Christians. What am I doing with this life that Christ has given to me, that Christ sustains in me, that Christ has secured for me? What am I doing with that life? And there's so much that could be said on that subject from the Scriptures, but let me stick with this text and with the clues from this text, and let me say this. Life is given to you by the bread of life, so that you might in turn give it to someone else by your witness. The bread of life isn't meant to be stuck away in a bread box on your countertop somewhere and kept in private. It's for you to share, to give to someone, that they might come to life in Christ. Secondly, life is sustained in you by the bread of life so that you can help sustain it in others. You know, life is hard sometimes. And people get tired and they get weary of all the problems and the trials of life. And you're there for that person to help sustain that life by your service to them and by your caring concern. And third, life is secured for you by the bread of life that you might help secure it for others. We've all known those cases, haven't we, where a Christian brother or sister is on the precipice of despair or doubt or unbelief? Satan is ready to steal away the life of that person, and you're going to be there for that person to encourage them. It might be your word of encouragement that makes all the difference in their life, that their life in Christ might be sustained. If you're a car battery, light up this world. Light up the life of your neighbors, of your family. Light it up. Because by your good works, other people will glorify God. And the life that has been given to you by Jesus is sustained by Jesus and is secured by Jesus will be a life very well spent. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.